Welcome to the E-Commerce Lab by eComsy. This is the place for everything related to Amazon private label and e-commerce. Learn exactly what you need to start or scale your business. Get insights from the top industry experts who will discuss the latest trends and best practices in the world of Amazon. From choosing products and sourcing from a supplier to setting up your Amazon account and marketing your business, you will hear it here. Let's get started. Here is your host, Vincenzo Toscano.
Hello, guys. Welcome to another episode of the E-Commerce Lab by eComsy, the place for every related to Amazon FBA, private label, and e-commerce. My name is Vincenzo Toscano, founder and CEO of eComsy. And today we bring a very close friend of mine, Chris McKay, where they specialize on everything that has to do with suspension. This guy is the best when it comes to that. Every single time I have an issue with suspensions or issues that has to do with Seller Central, he usually and always have the solution for that. And that's why I wanted to bring Chris today, because let's be honest, when it comes to suspensions and dealing with Seller Central, lately there's been a lot of noise in the space, especially I went to China. Like, there's been a lot of dynamics in terms of how now Chinese are behaving when it comes to that. Now there's also the topic about AI, how people are using ChatGPT to basically handle their appeals, and everybody's getting suspended and much more. So essentially what I want to do with Chris today is discuss that and give you some insights about what are the right things to do, what are things that you have to avoid. And hopefully that's going to help you, especially during this specific season of the year, which a suspension or a suppression is the worst thing that you can have. So Chris, welcome to the show. How are you doing, my friend?
Awesome intro. Thank you. I'm pretty good.
Pleasure. Pleasure, man. Yeah. We had so many great experiences in the last couple of months. We went to South Korea, had so much fun. We almost get, kidnapped in North Korea. But
not quite almost kidnapped, but yeah.
But it was cool. It was an
amazing experience. It back to the hotel in one piece. That's the important thing. So.
Yes, it was very nice. At the same time, it was so cool to interact with so many Amazon sellers in that specific region. I was surprised when I realized how many people in South Korea sell on Amazon. I didn't know the community was so big. Even for you, so many people, talking to you and trying to figure out how to handle issues when it comes to suspensions. So it was very, very interesting.
And how many sell in the U.S.?
Yes.
I thought maybe a lot of Korean sellers might sell in Japan Europe, but almost everyone I spoke to at the conference in Seoul was a U.S. seller. So I didn't even really know that until I went. Yeah.
Interesting. Yeah. So let's start with a quick intro about you, Chris, and what you guys do for those that, live under a rock and don't know you. And then let's dive into the topic.
Yeah. All right. I worked on the so-called seller performance and performance evaluation and policy enforcement teams at Amazon for several years. I've been consulting sellers going back to 2015, so 9-10 years in terms of helping people strategize appeals, construct the proper language and format to appeals over the years. I think we've been doing it the longest, so we're probably the best known for that. And also helping people report abuse, deal with listing takedowns, whether it's technical or competitor attacks or, anything like that. So it's been a long, long, solid ride of helping people with our consults. Yeah.
Awesome. So I think the first thing I want to bring to the table is, the panorama we saw and I saw personally in China in terms of how now Chinese sellers are behaving when it comes to playing now fair game, which I was surprised. Like now, the days of playing black hat are becoming less and less common among Chinese sellers. They really have understood that it doesn't have a lot of future when it comes to making a business, and it's getting tougher and tougher to rely on black hat. I want to hear your take on that, because I know yourself, you also been receiving a lot of requests from Amazon sellers from China specifically, that now they really want to figure out how to play the fair game. So tell me, what are you seeing in China when it comes to that? How the shift in the way of handling the Amazon health and all of them?
Yeah, it's fairly recent too. It's the last 2 to 3 months that I've had a much bigger uptick in contacts from Chinese sellers who are suspended. I mean, that always happens. We hear from everyone globally who gets suspended, but We're hearing from more sellers with larger accounts who understand the risks of screwing up on Amazon, mm-hmm. and they can't afford to make these kinds of mistakes. I mean, also large US mm-hmm. and UK sellers can't afford to make these mistakes either, because you can't necessarily appeal everything anymore. Some things aren't appealable.
Yes.
And Amazon won't tell you. I just got off a call maybe 10 days ago with people at Amazon, and I said, if the sellers aren't eligible for reinstatement, please just tell them up front so they won't waste all this time on appeals, and they can focus on just getting their inventory back, getting paid, getting the money back, but they won't focus on reinstatement for the account. Mm. Lots of times Amazon will tell you the only way to get paid, we're going to keep your money unless you get reinstated, mm-hmm. or the only way to get all of your inventory back is to get reinstated. So that's why people keep appealing. But behind the scenes, Amazon seems to decide you're not even eligible for reinstatement. We're not even reading your appeals. We don't care. And that's a big switch. They used to say, well, maybe you can appeal it. Maybe give us an improvement plan, right? A plan of action. So that's a fundamental shift. I think word got around in Chinese seller circles quickly that there's just too much at stake. There's too much on the line. You're a high eight figure, low nine figure account.
You can't afford.
Well, just because you think everyone's getting away with something and you want to make a few more sales, you can't afford to risk the entire account just because you have these flashes of greed and you want to sell a little bit more. I mean, this goes for globally, not just for sellers in one part of the world. So that's something sellers have been very slow to adapt and understand, is that some mistakes aren't fixable. So I've been talking about it on our podcast and in articles I write, but I've noticed that a lot of sellers are still approaching us with, hey, we just need a professional. We just need some help. And it's like, okay, the real problem here isn't that you got appeals denied or that you need a professional. The real problem here is that this happened in the first place. So you have to just avoid making those kinds of mistakes. Yeah.
Yeah. So I think I agree. Like I remember before Amazon left a lot of gray area when it comes to suspension. Like it was always like, yeah, you got suspended, but we are willing to figure things out. You can keep appealing and eventually you get out of the suspension. But now it seems like when it's a no, it's a no. And I guess for those, watching and hear this episode, maybe high level, like what are some of the things that you see sellers not coming back in terms of suspension? What are some of the suspension? Like once you get it, it's done.
The code of conduct is always growing. So it's hard to say, just read the code of conduct and you'll be set, as long as you're not violating those policies. But code of conduct, anything around behavior, inappropriate contacts to buyers, inappropriate contacts to other sellers, inappropriate contact to Amazon, people who send all caps messages because they're frustrated with support or frustrated with catalog. Sometimes they punish you for that. Or if you use profanity, like on the phone with account health or with catalog, they punish you for that. Behavioral stuff. So it doesn't have to be the owner of the business. It could be like if you have a rogue VA who starts doing these things and you don't know that they're doing it, you can't just terminate the VA and blame the VA anymore. That was happening like last spring or last winter. They would kind of accept that as an explanation. Now they just blame you. You know, why did you have rogue employees? Why weren't you watching them? This is your fault. Don't just blame your employees. So code of conduct, stuff like that in terms of communication. The second thing is faking or editing documents, like compliance documents. They want you to, depends on what you sell, what category, but they want you to send compliance information, certifications, testing, safety testing, right? Some people don't have that stuff ready, or they have to get it quickly. They give you like 72 hours to send it in and you don't have it. So people were starting to edit things or Photoshop things. Another common example is people who are making like health claims or cure claims. And it wasn't just on your detail page, it's also on your packaging. So a lot of sellers were Photoshopping the images.
That's crazy.
Yeah. Like you have to send pictures of your packaging, right? You know, prove to us.
They're Photoshopping. Yeah.
Prove to us that this language or that these terms or these cure claims are not on your packaging, right? Maybe it says something like, this helps cure blindness. Well, okay. If you Photoshop that off of the image and you send them the image, then you're not just losing your ASIN. You're losing your whole account because they think they can't trust you. or they think that you have employees who did this without your knowledge and that you're not watching them. So they mean that they don't think they can trust you with your own employees. So why should they trust you to sell?
Exactly.
Those are the things that are like deal breakers, right? We just started calling them like, not only have you violated the code of conduct, you've kind of broken your covenant with Amazon that you're going to be a good player in the platform.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. And I think that the issue with this kind of suspension, correct me if I'm wrong, but once your name goes into the blacklist, is like you cannot even open more accounts. It's like it's over for you.
Yeah, Amazon they'll close. They close all related accounts. If you think that you can create some sort of stealth account, that seems to be the term everyone uses. Some people think they can create as many stealth accounts as they want. I mean, Amazon's gotten better at identifying and kicking those other accounts off. So you can't expect that to work. Yeah,
exactly. Now, another thing that I'm seeing a lot coming into the picture here is AI, right? It's funny because I see lately a lot of people when they have issues with listings or accounts or getting categories ungated, they think that now they can get away with only a few lines in ChatGPT and they just copy paste that into customer support and they think they can get away. And usually what is happening is not only sometimes that leads straight to a suspension, but sometimes the language that they might use, it might actually put you in a very bad spot because you say things that you shouldn't be putting on appeal or maybe, you know, complying to things that you shouldn't be complying in the first place. So it's becoming very tricky and a lot of sellers are getting, you know, affected by that. So what has been your take and what is your experience with that and what you're seeing?
Yeah, I mean, their impression is if you're going to use either some copy and paste template that you found somewhere or you hire some company that does copy and paste templates with fill in the blanks. Mm-hmm. They just swap out the info.
Yeah.
Or you use ChatGPT to, I mean, I don't think ChatGPT is really sophisticated enough to handle something with complex, you know, nuance like this. But let's just say you try it anyway because you think it's just as good as a generic template. I mean, Amazon has seen all of these templates. They've seen all of this stuff before. They can tell when you're... My point is they can tell when you're doing it. Mm-hmm. So they don't necessarily care if you're lazy or if you think you're cheating or if you just don't have any money to hire somebody real or if you just don't feel like customizing an appeal. They put it all in the same category, which is you don't seem to care about your business. Like you're not willing to invest time, effort, energy, maybe money into giving us something that is worth our time. So you're just wasting our time. So why should we waste our time on you? Why don't you just take this back and do it again? I mean, if you keep sending that stuff in, if you send it once and it gets rejected, you know, by some low-level person in seller performance, then yeah, maybe it's still solvable. But if you do it like repeatedly or you make it worse by compounding these mistakes with more templates or more, I mean, it's not just ChatGPT. There are services that like charge people real money for essentially the same thing, like a template.
Yeah. They go to ChatGPT and do it on your behalf, essentially.
I mean, they're basically just, and a lot of the templates have old formats. Like it'll be the plan of action format. This is a really key point. You can't send a plan of action when they didn't ask you for one or they don't want one. And a lot of sellers just think that that POA means appeal. They're the same thing, which they're not. And so they go buy like a $700 POA from some generic site or service, and they send in a plan of action and they're hurting their own odds because they sent the wrong format. And also a plan of action is like admitting all these things went wrong and probably over confessing. And you're not making Amazon want to reinstate you. You're just proving to them that they were correct in suspending you in the first place. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it's tough. Yeah, it's difficult. And I think something that as well is happening is that not only I see people more relying on AI and therefore affecting more their accounts, but at the same time, again, that people is becoming so robotic when it comes to reacting to these things, people don't really spend the time into understanding what can bring a suspension in the first place. Like most people don't even know what things that lead to a suspension because everything now is copy-pasting and you don't really use your brain when it comes to figuring out things on your own. So now what I'm trying to say with this is that what I see, especially by talking to sellers and everything, it seems like now people is less educated. when it comes to what leads to a suspension, what can get your listing down, and so on. And this can be a huge issue, especially now in Q4, Black Friday, since days are very important throughout the year, you know?
Yeah.
So I guess my question to you is, like, what are some maybe high-level tips you can give to people to prepare for these important seasons of the year to avoid suspensions, avoid going under? Like, is there some kind of maybe a checklist or peer that you avoid, you ask people to stop doing things on their account? Like, what is usually your advice?
At this time of year, it's usually they're trying to enhance their listings last minute to get more sales, but they make mistakes that take listings down. And could, if you get a lot of listings taken down, you could get your whole account taken down. So like putting in trademarked keywords, even on the back end, like back end search terms, some people are putting trademarked keywords in their listing titles just to try to drive more traffic. But then that attracts an intellectual property complaint. And if you haven't been through that before, it's a nasty process, but you don't want to really go through it anytime, let alone this time of year. Sometimes they're just hiring, you know, services for optimization, which can mean a lot of different things. And sometimes it's a service that's just pumping in these different keywords to try
without
to,
thinking.
And if you're going to outsource something that important, keep an eye on what they're doing for you, because their mistakes could cost you your business, right? You have to, you can't just blame some service you hired. Amazon will hold you responsible for who you hire. And, you know, not every brand owner has ironclad intellectual property knowledge that's bulletproof, that, you know, I mean, you might need to hire an IP attorney to go over it, but don't just start doing stuff. I think people think, oh, this is a great idea. That's a great idea. Mm-hmm. It's kind of the same thing as the like product inserts, trying to get more reviews. People are trying to spike positive reviews before November or even before Q4 sometimes. So they put all these product inserts, like, let's give away a bunch of product and we won't mention reviews. Everyone knows now, don't ask for a 5-star review, right? No one does that. But sometimes people, I mean, some people do, but they usually get caught. But it's just like, let's give a bunch of product away because we know we'll get a certain number of 5-star reviews even without asking for it. Or, you know, let's run some sort of promotion. Let's have a QR code on there and we'll send them to our site and, you know, we'll offer them free accessories, whatever it is. Don't do that stuff around this time of year. Because then you're overreaching, you get caught, and it's tough to appeal when Amazon says, well, we slapped your wrist once for this. We sent you a warning and you did it anyway. So now you're a reoffender. It's like all these little tricks. I understand there's YouTube videos out there about all this stuff, but it's not worth it. It's just not worth it.
I think something I want to make quick emphasis, because I feel this is something still to the date, even if it's relatively an old trick, there's still a lot of misinformation, which is inserts. I want to make a quick parenthesis here, because people still don't understand if an insert, they can include their website, if they can include a landing page, if they can include, you know, certain kind of language. In there. So I guess from your experience and all the clients you've been dealing with lately, like, is Amazon getting stricter when it comes to inserts, or this is something that they are not pursuing as they used to, as strong as they used to anymore?
They're tired of the inserts. A lot of competitors buy from each other, and all they do is take a picture of your insert, send it to Amazon, and pick out all the ways that it violates the policies. So your insert better be something that has really nothing. Nothing impeachable on it, no flaws, no insinuations, no innuendo.
Some landing page that do tricks and all of that.
You know, playing games with the warranty. Oh, here's the warranty page. See us on our warranty page. And then they get there and there's a bunch of other stuff there. Bad idea. I mean, that's kind of an older one. Don't give away product. I think the biggest reason why people are still getting in trouble with inserts is there's a misconception that as long as you don't ask for a review, you can give things away, you can promote things, you can send them here, you can send them there, you can communicate with them on email, you can do whatever you want, as long as you don't ask for a review. So we went from it's okay to ask for a review, but don't ask for 5 stars. It's okay to ask for a review, but and give product away, but don't tell them the two are connected, which is not really true. And now it's like, as long as you don't mention reviews at all, you can give product away. But people do get punished for giving a bunch of product away if they get a bunch of 5-star reviews out of it, even if you don't ask for a review. So, yeah. I mean, those days are just over.
Yeah.
Amazon is looking for people. Amazon has gotten tired of this topic. Mm-hmm. They're tired of the FTC getting on their case about fake or five-star positive mm-hmm. reviews spiking for, you know, incentives. So it's, I think people are just trying to be too cute and finesse it. And they're trying to turn language around and use certain phrases that are kind of like wink, wink phrases, but not really, you know what I mean?
So, yeah. Cool. Now, I will say another thing that a lot of sellers been bringing to me is like also rather than be reactive when it comes to suspensions and suppressions, why not be prepared in terms of prepare in advance to make sure this doesn't happen? And I think a good practice that I don't see sellers doing a lot, but I think people should do more often, and so that you guys do some service when it comes to that, is actually have like a pre-check on your account to make sure that you are healthy, to make sure that everything is standing. Because another day, let's be honest, Amazon is such a minefield when it comes to the terms of condition that, sometimes you've been selling for years and you never receive a suspension, but there's something wrong and you've just been lucky, right? Yeah. And you just never got triggered. So, what is your take on that? Do you feel like sellers at least once per year should do like these kind of checks? Because I have seen that on accounts that come to us for audits, like they're doing seven, eight figures. And it's like, man, I don't know how you are still not suspended. You have like, these branded terms in the back end, your search terms, and you're still somehow alive, right? So, yeah.
I think it's a combination of things. A lot of people get away with stuff still and they don't get punished, and that encourages them to keep doing those things for a long period. They just keep pushing their luck. They haven't been reported by a competitor. They haven't been picked up by any bots or automated flags Amazon has for whatever reason, right? Amazon's tools are porous. They're inconsistent. Mm-hmm. Their teams, their SOPs are very porous, very inconsistent. We've all seen that. So some people get lucky, you know? I mean, you might be one of the 10, 12, 14% that gets away with stuff, and that's great. Until it's not great, you know? And other people, I think, just don't want to make an investment in a professional service unless it's an emergency. That's my impression. We have monthly clients. We have first of the month clients that are with us for months or years. And we're like always looking at their account. So like they kind of, they're not the same as people that don't deal with us all the time, that don't work with us constantly. Those types of the other kind of client is the people who come to us when there's a problem, but that's like the problem has already happened at that point.
Exactly.
A little bit, we get some people kind of coming to us like, what do you charge for a full account review? It's already on my website, but I just showed them the link, and they'll be like, well, we're a little bit worried about our listing compliance. We're a little bit worried about our messaging to buyers. We're a little bit worried about intellectual property or whatever. But they're not that engaged or that serious unless Amazon tells them.
Yes, it's been.
or like you've got 72 hours to appeal. Otherwise, we're taking your account. Or sometimes account health calls you and they say you've got a series of unresolved performance notifications. Well, you have to resolve these soon. You know, maybe it says 7 days. Maybe it says 72 hours, whatever. You have to resolve these. Otherwise, we're going to review your account for a suspension. Then they get serious. So it's like a mental thing where they don't want to make the investment unless there's a huge threat.
Yeah. Now, something I've always been curious about Amazon is like, I mean, you talk a lot with them and you actually work for them as well. It's like, have you ever asked them the question about why when it comes to suspension suppressions, they just don't at least create a system where they would give you a couple of days to fix it or to respond back rather than taking action and taking you down and then give you the option to appeal? Is there a reasoning behind that behavior? Like rather than give you a chance to fix it, they just take you down? Like what is the reasoning behind that kind of acting?
I mean, technically the account health assurance, the AHA program, you know, the laughs on you, right?
Yeah.
That program is supposed to give you time to fix stuff and appeal. But in the appeal, you'd have to explain why you had to fix it in the first place, why you why you made those mistakes to begin with, and maybe they'll accept your explanation and maybe they won't. But technically, that 72-hour window does give you a chance to make some corrections. But you probably already had a performance notification sitting in your account help dashboard that you either didn't address or didn't address to their satisfaction before they messaged you or before they called you. So that also has to be explained. Like, when we first warned you last week or last month, why didn't you do it then? You know, you have to explain that. Yeah.
Okay.
Important. And sometimes people just explain it to me before they appeal. Like, they just say, like, we didn't see it. We didn't read this message. So that's why.
I know.
Or they have like a VA reading their managing their account health, or a VA is like not really paying attention. I mean, if you want to leave the fate of your entire business in the hands of a lower tier VA, then that's up to you. But you know, that could cost you your account.
Yeah. Now, to come to a conclusion, I guess, I mean, what was one word of advice and maybe insights in terms of how the world of, you know, suspensions and suppressions is evolving? Like, is there anything else you feel people should be aware of? Or maybe some things that you're seeing from Amazon side of things, even from an AI perspective, do you see Amazon using more AI when it comes to suspensions and suppression that people should be aware of? Like, what is some last advice you want to share?
Yeah, I mean, there's an agency owner, I won't say exactly who, here in the Northeast, who was telling me that at Amazon Accelerate, they talked to somebody who said, yeah, we're definitely integrating more AI into the appeal review process. I mean, that's not 100% new. People don't get bot responses to appeals. I mean, there is still a human hand in terms of who's deciding yes or no to reinstate you. That's a human decision. But by the same token, that's probably coming in 2025, a little bit more generic, you know, review, at least to separate out the appeals from people. But it's not an excuse to use ChatGPT. It's not, you don't want two machines talking. You still need to customize your appeal. You can't just wing it. I think the biggest mistake people make right now is assuming they get four chances, five chances, six chances. I still have people coming to me who have appealed seven or eight times before they even thought about hiring help. And it's like, if you've been rejected six or seven times, I'm pretty sure you're going to get rejected six more times, right? Yeah. That's data. There's a track record of failure there. Yeah. So you have to stop yourself. I know you have an urge. You get an idea like, oh, I know what my appeal is missing. I'm going to throw it in the next one and that'll fix it. I know that urge. I understand it. But it's not rational. It's not logical to think that you're going to suddenly turn things around 180 degrees just because you have one thought. I mean, it's not a situation where if you get rejected a bunch of times, they're probably going to stop reading entirely, right? Like, they don't really need to read it anymore. They can make the excuse that they read it, but they'll just annotate your account like, same old appeal. No, thank you. They're not spending any real time on it. You've discouraged them from doing it.
Awesome, Chris. So I think it was, you know, a great conversation. So many, you know, insightful things. So thank you so much for that. I'm sure maybe, you know, there's some people right now is having some issues with their account, or they want to just have a pre-check, as we already discussed. So how people can find you?
Yeah, I mean, especially at this time of the year, I'll just give my email address. Usually I give the support inbox, but Chris, C-H-R-I-S, at ecommercechris.com. Certainly if you've heard this podcast or you're working with Vincenzo, maybe throw his name in the subject line so that I know. I mean, I get back to everyone eventually, but I'll get back to you a little bit quicker if I know you're from Vincenzo.
Special dream, man.
Well, especially because, I mean, you've got this event coming up in London, which I probably can't make it to, but I'm sure I'll get over there and do some content with you in the UK. But We're planning on having you as a speaker at our New York meetup next year too. So I know I'll cross paths with you. Right now, it's like emergencies are something that need attention right away. So that's the quickest way to get me. Yeah.
Thank you, Chris. So pleasure as usual. You know, wish you an amazing Black Friday ahead, and hopefully see you soon. Yeah.
So take care. Thanks.
Take care. Bye bye. See ya.
Thanks for listening to the E-Commerce Lab by Ecomsy. Be sure to subscribe so you don't miss an episode. While you are at it, We would appreciate it if you could leave an honest rating and review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen. That will make it easier for others to find out about the show and benefit from it. Want more? Visit our website at www.ecomc.com, where you can get your first consultation for free. Or find us on Instagram, Facebook, and LinkedIn at ecomc.